And we're resuming the Taylor Report at our new time. And, you know, they say if you were a farmer, you have to have try three times before you actually have a success. It for those of you who want to be farmers and broadcast on the radio. This is a Taylor Report, CIUT. We're going to be talking with Kim Ives, I swear. And Kim Ives is at Haiti Liberté. By the way, Kim Ives has an X account. I don't know whether they call X Twitter or Twitter X, but anyhow, he's got one, and it's Kim Ives 13. It's at Kim Ives 13. I recommend, by the way, that you, for the duration of the current crisis, and probably for to keep track of Haiti, you should go to his X account, because he is, as we've learned in speaking to him in the past, very, very well versed in all the issues, of course, and also has mastery of the language, which is, by the way, an important part of the story, because this is a whole evolution of the Haitian struggle, which we all know it from the history books, of the first successful slave revolt in history, successful in that those who had been slaves became masters of their own destiny. However, part of their destiny is to inherit U.S., British, French, Dominican, Spanish, let's throw them all in, intimidation or manipulation, efforts to undermine and destroy them, and they weathered that. But they're in one of the deepest crises they've ever been in right now, and all the usual players are involved. And I'll just remind you that we want to learn from Kim why we find in the crisis in our hemisphere, we find that we have the nominal leader of Haiti visiting Kenya of all places, and asking for what really comes, frankly, is military support. Although, I mean, again, this is, I look forward to talking to Kim about this. Clearly, people are thinking in terms of armies, but the request is for 1,000 police officers from Kenya. And that is bizarre, and it's going to cost the U.S. put a price tag, since they're paying for the heavy lifting, is $600 million. So you have $600 million. Canada threw in 87 cents in the form of $80 million. That much money to rent 1,000 police officers from Kenya. And the Kenyan officers let's put it this way, they have their own, quote, gang problems. They have their own reputation as police officers. I've been in Nairobi many times, and I have had a chance to talk to people who've interacted with the Kenyan authorities. I had a friend who was from Australia, and a little boy stole his hat, and he really regretted that he called a policeman. So the police arrested or picked up a number of kids, little boys, and they told him, come to the station, we're going to see if we can find your hat. And he went to the station, and this man, by the way, was a lawyer. He said he saw the boys being interrogated with a bullwhip. And he said, please stop. I don't care about my hat anymore. I'd stop using a bullwhip. And the Kenyan police officer turned to him and said, where are you from? And he said, I'm from Australia. And he said, well, then act like an Australian. And they continued their interrogation. He got his hat back. Well, the bell is rung. We have Kim Ives.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Kim, thank you very much. You're a very patient man. I've been rehearsing all my questions. Why is nominal Prime Minister of Haiti halfway around the world in Kenya, or has he come home? And what the heck is that about?
Okay, so the U.S. Rammed through the Security Council, finally, last October. It took them a year to do so. A deputization of Kenya as the country that would lead the essentially multinational mission headed by the U.S. into Haiti. Basically, Kenya is the blackface on the U.S./Canadian intervention into Haiti. And so Kenya has put forward 1,000 cops to come in to Haiti to supposedly quell the gang, which is a joke in and of itself because, first of all, these cops have already been flagged by the United Nations as being notoriously brutal and corrupt.
Yes.
They have their own death squads. They are the absolute...
So they're well qualified.
Yeah, right, well qualified, right. But they're going into Haiti against an opponent which is motivated, to say the least. Mm-hmm. Haiti has undergone 2 foreign military interventions already in the past 3 decades, and they are not interested in a third, especially not from Kenyans. The U.S. has now also squeezed a number of its other impoverished proxies, including Bangladesh, Chad, Benin, to chip in troops, or shall we call them cannon fodder, into this effort. What is this all about? Essentially, the narrative that the State Department puts out is it's to quell the gangs. The gangs are taking over. Anarchy is sweeping Haiti, which is a total misrepresentation of the reality on the ground. What has happened is, yes, the state has disintegrated. It's been weakened by neoliberal measures themselves and neocon strategy to just gut the state. And so, as you have noted, there are no elected officials in Haiti. And the prime minister, who's been running the place, is the de facto prime minister, just appointed by the core group, which is the ambassadors and multinational institutions, which are essentially have appointed themselves to be the directors of Haiti for the past 20 years after the coup d'etat against Aristide 20 years ago, exactly 20 years ago as of February 29th. So Ariel Henry is completely, I could say, reviled, mm-hmm. unpopular, illegitimate, and the people want him out. Now, in the face of the disintegration of the government and all order, there has been the rise of criminal gangs. There have also been the rise of armed groups which are fighting those criminal gangs, keeping them out of their neighborhood, and at the same time calling for revolutionary change in Haiti, saying we cannot go on like this. This oligarchy, which has brought us to this point, and these imperialists who have brought us to this point, have got to be put out of the country, or put out of power at the very least. Mm-hmm. And this sector is led by a guy called Jimmy Cherizier, or Barbecue. Mm-hmm. Now, he's being painted as the villain, as if he's the agent of entropy, of anarchy, that is bringing Haiti into its present sorry state, when in fact he is the one fighting to get it out of that state. But, you know, typically the mainstream media, North American mm-hmm. and European, puts everything on its head. So that is the situation that's happening now. We have an uprising, which is essentially the masses of Haiti trying to throw off this puppet who the imperialists have put in power of Haiti, and the Kenyans have just been activated in total violation of the High Court of Kenya, which said, no, those troops cannot be sent to Haiti unless there is a bilateral agreement between the countries. Well, Ariel Henry dashed over there to Kenya to make it, but he has no authority to. He's not elected in any way, so he can't make any agreement. But they're just sort of, you know, sweeping that under the rug and trying to bring them over. It's a lot like Palestine, you know, finds against the U.S. and Israel, and, you know, they just flout it.
You know, they seem to be losing it. Canada got involved, and we spoke to you, and this is Kim Ives, Haiti Liberté, spoke to you about it. That I think the U.S. at one time thought that they could use Mounties or the Canadian Army, I think they realized that they would destabilize us, you know, that Canada could really have some big headache. And yeah. I wonder if they're going to be causing Kenya a big headache and Benin a headache. Benin to give up 2,000 troops, that is not a stable country.
Exactly. And Chad, either. On February 28th, the leader of the opposition in Chad was essentially executed by the cops. And I've wondered whether there's not some correlation between his killing, that is Yahya Diallo, who was head of the opposition, also the cousin of the president, but he was rubbed out. And these are extremely unstable countries. And, you know, it's interesting, Biden traveled all the way to Ottawa to try to put the full court press on Trudeau, and he demurred. Yeah. You know, they continue to...
You know, one-third of our country is French.
Well, there you go.
And they have a different view of Haiti than the Anglos do.
Exactly. And I think, you know, what Trudeau's done is he keeps doing what you call in Creole grimace, which is a grimace literally, but it means, you know, where you do a kind of a face-saving foot shuffle, you know, to make it look like you're coming. So they sent a spy plane, and they sent a couple of boats, and now, you know, they've ended up 80 million Canadian, which is about, you know, 65 million, I guess, American, to this bill for bringing these troops over, which will be about $600 million to bring these this foreign force in, which ironically is like three times what the Haitian police get paid. So, you know, why not just up the Haitian police's salaries?
Raise their salaries.
You know, three times. Anyway.
It's so bizarre. By the way, you mentioned, people should read Kim Ives, at Kim Ives 13. You included in your story, recent story, a kind of a bizarre, I have to remark on it, point, which was that a top Kenyan came to New York to be part of the meetings and died, and nobody knows why.
Right. Well,
what the heck was
that? We have some suspicions, and you know, we're tracking it down. But I think I can say that this is all not fully confirmed. But apparently, he was part of a team that was reconnaissance to Haiti back a month ago or so, and he'd deploy. He was supposed to deploy for 3 to 4 days. Well, he spent about 4 hours in Haiti. Why? Because he immediately came under attack from gang gunfire, and they had to flee the country. So apparently he wrote an 11-page report, which has gone missing. Nobody, we're still on the track of it, trying to find it, which was saying we shouldn't touch Haiti with a 10-foot pole. This place is going to be our doom. So
he was canceled.
There's some question. And furthermore, he was supposed to testify in court against President William Ruto, who has a big case against him for corruption with respect to a hydroelectric dam for $20 million in Kenya, which $200 million, excuse me, which went south. So, you know, there were a couple of circumstantial evidence which seems to suggest he may have been a target for those reasons.
He was a young man. You ran a photograph of him.
He looked 39 years old. I mean, come
on. He looked like an athlete in the picture.
Right. Yeah. No. He's. It stinks to high heaven, and there still hasn't been his brother in Minnesota traveled all the way to Washington to find out, and they said, well, we can't tell you anything. It's government to government. You know, he's they're keeping the details of his death secret.
You know,
up until now,
I get the impression that everybody's kind of falling apart. I mean, the U.S. seems to be running its legs off. Mrs. Greenfield, or whatever I think her name is, the U.N. Yep. representative, yep. She shows up in Guyana. She rushes to Kenya. She's all over the map on this strange, search for 1,000 cops. They cannot get their act together. And I'm talking about the U.S.
Yep, the collapse of the empire of the North American European axis, which has ruled the world essentially since the Second World War, and it's quite spectacular to watch.
Yes.
From Palestine and
yes.
Yemen and Ukraine over now to Western Hemisphere and Haiti. I mean, we recently compared in Haiti Liberté, people can find that on our website, Palestine and Haiti. As, these are the two, dogged examples examples of dogged determination of people who are so completely oppressed and
yeah, they're incarcerated in the U.S. empire, right? I mean, they can't get food, they can't get... nobody has a plan for employment. Nobody. It's just bizarre and tragic. By the way, I mean, your big story seems to me a couple of days ago would be that Mr. Jimmy Chervier, is it? We call him Jimmy Barbecue. He said he was going to try to prevent the prime minister, nominal, from returning. And it looks pretty serious.
What's that situation? I mean, essentially... he is saying they're not going to let him back in the country, and they chose this moment, which I think is ideal, an ideal moment, really, for the Haitian people to rise up, because the empire is on its back foot, obviously, throughout the world, as we've just mentioned, and Ariel Henry was out of the country, so he's already out, so now it's just a question of keeping him from coming back in. So they finally launched their offensive. It should be said, on February 7th, there was a mobilization of 3 days, 5th, 6th, and 7th, to try to oust him. This was led by another sector of this opposition, which is kind of allied with Cherizier's group. They did not succeed. Mm-hmm. They were trying to do it, quote-unquote, peacefully, that is, with demonstrations, but... as history tells us, revolutions are not made through demonstrations. They'll just bring out machine guns and mow people down.
Yes.
That's what they did in a more specific way. They shot a carload of what are called BSAP, Surveillance Brigade of Protected Spaces agents. These are sort of park rangers who have grown from... force of about 300 to now about 15,000 minimum people, men mostly, who are volunteering to carry out this revolution. Well, anyway, they killed five of them, and that poured water on it for a minute. So this is the second spasm of this revolution happening now, several weeks later.
But this is a kind of... rehearsal, I suppose. I mean, in the case of Chevet, he clearly has a political outlook, and the word gang is really not helpful because he was actually pursuing criminals, right? He was protecting.
Exactly. Well, he was a cop, and essentially corruption in the police force led him to be out of the police force. But he has been pushing this for a while. People can see it in our video on our YouTube channel, Haiti Liberté's YouTube channel, called Another Vision, which is a three-part series. The film ended up being 2.5 hours. We broke it into three parts. So
is there anything resembling, how close are they to kind of having it down to some slogans or some program? Are they, What does Chevrier propose?
Chevrier, well, he articulated his vision in very basic terms. A lot the way in the Bolshevik Revolution, they said, you know, land, peace, bread. Yeah, and he said
that could help.
We just need schools, hospitals, sanitation, electricity, the basics of life. You know, mm-hmm. we're drowning here, and so this is all he's calling for. And he essentially repeats, we need all the wealth of the country for all the people of the country.
Well, some of the
and not
people
be
who
monopolized by 5%.
Yeah, some of the people who previously, when they had something like a political actual environment, time of Aristide and after the return, there was talk of actual parties with programs. How are they responding to Jimmy Barbecue?
Well, they've been kind of marginalized, shall I say. Essentially, I've called it, and it's been picked up by others, I call him Aristide with a gun. basically, Aristide tried.
That's a good one. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, yeah, if you're pushing it, Phil, then, yeah, it will really get traction. No, Aristide tried it through these sort of speeches talking about love, and we have to, you know, let everybody be a person, tout
yes.
one, same one, as they say in Creole. And, you know, it didn't work. The bourgeoisie just laughed in his face and gave him two coups. And
knocked him over.
Followed by two occupations. So Cherizier is saying, okay, enough of this. You see these guns? These guns, which you gave us to fight each other and do your dirty work, well, we're turning them on you, oligarchy and imperialists. We're now fighting you, mm-hmm. and we're going to...
Are they the ones who are opening the prisons, and they were attacking the airport? Are they? I guess they wanted to prevent him being able to return, right?
Yeah, they wanted to keep Ariel Henry from landing, returning. Apparently, Ariel Henry asked for something like 4 or 5 dozen U.S. troops to accompany him back.
There aren't enough Marines, I got to tell you.
Yeah. I don't think the U.S. is going to get into anything like that. But two, they basically, yeah, are shutting down the country until they have a replacement for Ariel Henry. The U.S. is scrambling, trying to find people to plug in. I heard a number of...
Well, you know, the last time they called in on people like Brazil, I assume Brazil is not interested.
Well, unfortunately... Lula has a bit of a blind spot with respect to this, and even CELAC, which is the, how should we call it, the South American OAS, not the mm-hmm. Washington-dominated OAS, had a meeting, and the speakers were very good, from Bolivia and Colombia, and Gonçalves, who is the president of CELAC at the present time, they all said, you know, we're essentially an anti-imperialist body, and, you know, we're going to fight imperialism. But they signed off on this MSS, which is what this UN-deputized U.S. mission is called, the Multinational Security Support Mission. So they're a little confused about it, because, the power of the mainstream media cannot be underestimated.
Yes.
And, they've said, oh, Haiti is just, anarchy and a mess, and we have to save it. So their vision has been colored by this a bit.
Wow.
And it's unfortunate, but hopefully the Haitians will keep everybody at bay until the Latin Americans can see clearly on this matter.
And this is Kim Ives, Haiti Liberté, at Kim Ives 13. Please follow Kim to know what's going on. Lastly, I want to ask you, your writing has been so helpful. You and your presentation, United Nations, was, in my opinion, definitive. But I want to ask you about the UN, because in a way, this is a masquerade, isn't it? Because they say UN-backed, but what does that mean specifically?
Right. Well, what this means is that even the UN is crumbling. The UN was set up, as we know, after the Second World War to basically be a front for U.S. power, for the new U.S. century that was taking place. But even that is not working because Russia and China, who hold permanent seats on the Security Council and hence a veto, are not going along with the U.S. games anymore. Yeah. And they weren't going to go along with this one. So the U.S. had to devise this new formula. That those are the words of the U.S. ambassador at the U.N.
It wasn't, new formula.
Greenfield Thomas. It was her second in command, whose name escapes me right now. But he said, yes, you know, this is a new formula that we've come up with, which is basically the U.S. makes this force, concocts it, puts it together, funds it, and then the Security Council just anoints it or deputizes it, blesses it.
Well, Russia and China abstained, right? So
it became
a kind of a crawl hole for the U.S.
Right. So they weren't going to go along with it, so they abstained. They didn't want to, you know, totally, it wasn't central to their core security interests, so they said, okay, you know, but we're not going to give it any of our prestige to agree to it. So this was something basically rammed through by the U.S. at the U.N.
Wouldn't it have been great if the U.N. had worked?
Kim Ives. And significantly, this is not under U.N. Security Council aegis and oversight. So that means basically they can do whatever they want. The Colombians can go in. And it should be said at the Munich Security Conference, the Dominican ambassador said, we should make it a low bar. We shouldn't press the peacekeepers going into Haiti to observe human rights too vigorously.
Lower the bar.
We got to give them a lot of slack.
Wow.
Yeah,
Kim Ives.
That's in Haiti Liberté as well. Yeah,
Haiti Liberté. Please, everybody go to that site and to Kim Ives. Brilliant stuff. Kim, we really appreciate it. We look forward to talking to you. We hope after Jimmy Barbecue and Friends succeed.
Let's cross our fingers. We'll
and
see.
Along the way,
a lot of,
we'll even find out about the Colombians sometime.
We'll see what history holds. I mean, there's a lot of hurdles before they get there, and God knows what sort of
Haiti Liberté will be there. I know that. Thank you very, very much.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, darling. Bye, bye. That was me. I can really do imitations and strange sounds. Don't try to do that at home. This is Taylor Report. It is CIUT. I think we're on the air, and we're going to be talking to Norman Otis Richmond in a little bit, you will know him as the bluesologist. Are we going to have music? My, I divined that. We're going to have some music.